right, Cole. What are you doing this week?
Well, Gary, we finally got there. We finally arrived. We're at the fireworks factory.
Oh, I think we've done this before, but let's keep going.
We may have done something different. I don't know. It seems like we would have done, but there's no way of being sure. So
no.
So what I've done, local fireworks factory here, you know, they have those fireworks that you can get that they fire off and it writes stuff in the sky, you know, dystopically during the RNC. Remember when they fired off those, fireworks that spelled Trump over the Washington Monument?
About to watch. Like the RNC do a thing, dude.
No.
Like I take care of my mental health. I'm not going to watch that guy talk or any of that stuff.
No.
Why would I do?
It's a picture that went around. It's a, you know, it's real dystopian. I only bring that up as an example. Yeah.
What about Eat at Joe's, like in classic animation? You know how they always have that fireworks that says,
yeah, Eat at Joe's, the famous Joe's.
Yeah, famous Joe's. Eat at Joe's. That's where Mickey Mouse, Michael Mouse, likes to eat, apparently.
Michael J. Mouse.
Or Buster Bunny. Any of those guys.
Yeah. You get the idea, though. We have some defective ones here. I'm just going to grab one of these. We're going to fire this bad boy off. I've always wanted to do this.
Okay.
I've always wanted to do this. So we've got the control panel here. I'm going to open up the skylight above us. Yeah, there we go. We're gonna fire it off and we're gonna see what it spells.
I bet hopefully it'll be a game.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean,
RNC forever or something.
We could just try. I mean, they're like, this is really messed up. Like, it's literally just they just packed it wrong with, you know, with garbage characters. It was a problem with the machine. So we're gonna fire this one off. This way we have to launch this like a nuke, Gary. So you reach over here and turn this key while
I'll turn the key as well.
Okay. Sure. Three, two. No, you went too early. Okay.
Well, right. I thought we were going to go when you hit one, but
you go on what I would have said.
Well,
one.
I already clicked the thing. So yeah,
No, you're going to have to unclick it. We're going to have to go at the same time here. Okay. So you right, go on when I would have said one. Okay. Three.
It's locking us out. Like it wants to text us a code.
Yeah.
To get it. It's too many attempts. Let's just bust it open like a pinata.
But it has to shoot in the sky. Okay.
Let's just light it on fire.
Yeah. Okay, let's just do that. So I'll just take my cigar here, pop my stogie on there.
I'll take my cigar as well. We'll do the nuclear cigars.
Okay. All right. So go when I would have said
cigars.
Go when I would have said one. Three. Okay. Two and a half.
Okay.
Two and three quarters.
Nope.
Two. That goes off.
Okay, you went the other direction. That's
there we go. Yeah, we're good. It's up. It's McPixel.
Oh, hey. No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm good. Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Abject Suffering. Abject Suffering, if LGR was sad on main.
Yeah, sad on main. Sad on main is a good representation. Yeah.
Could definitely, it might have used this before.
Yes, there was a small technical snafu. I don't remember it, though. I feel like I would have remembered if somebody said we were sad on main.
Oh no! I'm going from an old well.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I deleted a bunch of my Twitters.
Mm-hmm. This week we are playing. Let me see what year this game is from. This is a 2012. Let's say like WarioWare style point and click adventure game, puzzle game kind of thing called McPixel. This is a backer demand from David. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Thank you. This is David's demand here. He says deliciously absurd point and clicker, enjoy. I don't think this is a bad game.
I don't think it's a bad game. I didn't like it very much.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
trying to be a grump. I just didn't have very much fun. Like, no, I got the I get it button real fast.
Yeah, it's got problems with it. It is trial and error by design, and I only have so much patience for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it were a puzzle, I just kept thinking, like, what if this was a puzzle game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what if you could intuit any of this stuff? Then, like, it'd be a little less random, you know, but it would be a game at that point, as opposed to, you know, and it got me with having to watch the, you know, listen to the little song play again and go through the little, like, setup.
Yes, every time. Like the little establishing shot. People probably know what this game is, but I will give a top line for it. This is kind of a takeoff or parody on the MacGruber SNL skits and a movie that I have not seen, but I understand is pretty good, actually. And also on MacGyver, the idea is you're going through these little scenelets, like literally like 15 second scenes where you have to interact with the right things in order to stop a bomb from going off or otherwise. And this is the way the game puts it, save the day. And you do these kind of in groups of six. As they go along, and if you fail one, it'll come back around on the rotation. But kind of the idea is that, like, you're not doing like rapid iteration on any of these. You're going like from scene to scene, and then by the time you get back around to it, you know, you have to keep in your head like what happened the last time you like you touched the snake instead of the shovel or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Wikipedia says this game centers around the title character McPixel, who is a parody of both MacGyver and his other parody, MacGruber. so there's layers going on here.
It's parodies of parodies.
And this was very famous for PewDiePie reasons.
Yeah.
This was a PewDie pick.
Mm-hmm.
The screaming blondo himself.
The screaming Swede.
Yep, that scream in Sweden decided that this was good and put it in a bundle.
Yeah.
And this was before, this was when he was like merely perplexing.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, problematic. And yeah, then also just like, yeah. Fuck that guy. It was pre-problematic, pre-fuck that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a little bit less, you know, a little less Nazi.
Yeah. This sticks out to me for being like not an early indie game, because, you know, 2012, we'd already had Braid by that point. Like, indie was a mainstream thing. You know, it stuck out because it was like a simultaneous kind of launch on mobile and then on Steam. This is the first game that went through like Steam Greenlight. And it was very like low priced. So it was like a game available on PC at mobile price.
Yes. And also I was very famous for just being like, hey, Pirate Bay, go nuts.
Yes.
Like, give this to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pirate Bay endorsed it, which is still on their website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically it. It reminds me of like, so I mentioned to my shame that I've played through the entire free to play Plants vs. Zombies 2 game. In my summer depression, and the it's constantly showing me ads for those, like, you know, get the treasure but don't get the orc, and it like shows a little knight and you have to slide pipes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
And then like the oftentimes it'll be a video and the person in the video makes a very obvious mistake. And like, that is supposed to like the psychology of that is transparently clear, because you're like, no, you fool, why you fucked it up. And then you touch it to try, you know, to try and fix it and do the right thing. If you are like me, a dullard who has no object permanence, and then it launches the app store. So it takes you to the free to play thing to download it. Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah.
That's what this seems like to me a little bit, you know, except without, you know, again, not a puzzle. Like, it just it's like the manhole, like, or something. Like, it just sometimes there's a logic to what you're doing, but it's
incredibly uneven. Like, in the first group, there's one that I think is genuinely extremely fun, like a good puzzle. It's the one that's in the volcano, where there's a sign that's like, you know, virgin sacrifice or whatever, and there's like a woman in a white dress and there's like a kid or whatever. I don't think there's a kid, that'd be pretty dark, but the actual solution to keep the volcano from exploding is for you to just jump in it as MacGruber or as McPixel, because he's the virgin on the screen.
Yeah. You don't want to assume that kid is a virgin, because that'd be
hey, that
That'd be a dark assumption, Cole.
Yeah, that's why I said I don't think it was a kid. That would be pretty dark. I backed out of it before I said the thing. I said no, I was mistaken.
I don't want to live in a world where kids are virgin. I don't. that's fun. There's a trick there, but then there's also ones where like I don't necessarily know that I even knew what was happening, like mm-hmm. when I was winning.
Yeah.
Or losing. Like, you don't always have the 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. In the second world, there's like a thing where you're on a building construction, you know, where you might find a baby. And you pick up a briefcase, which is the bomb, and you don't have all 20 seconds. It just, as soon as you pick it up, it blows up.
Yeah. So it's like you and either like, have the 20 seconds, or if you touch the wrong thing, then it's a lose condition.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I don't know that. So I'm touching other stuff. And I was like, well, what if you took the briefcase and threw it off the building? Mm-hmm. You know, that seems like something that a Mac Gruber might do.
Yeah.
But you cannot.
No.
And it's just like things like that where I'm not saying like, oh, there should be infinite possibility space.
No. It should just be easier to discern intuit. You said it earlier.
Yeah. So that's my biggest bummer with this. And then the humor, it was really hit and miss. And, you know, that's subjective. So
yeah,
if this is just like super funny, then I would never take that away from you, dear listener.
Yeah. I think that if I have goodwill for it is because it does have that kind of WarioWare kind of energy. And I think that more games, you know, like just it is a rare thing for a game to be gag based. Like the only things that are gag based are like newspaper comic strips and then like certain porns. So,
yes. I was thinking about gags the other day.
Okay.
A little low energy.
That's fine. No. This is our first recording back after taking a week and a half off for you to move. So like we're getting back in the swing of it. And also, you know, you're tired because you've been moving. It's been tough. So,
but like a gag, like I was looking because the reason why I was thinking about it is because I was watching The Simpsons mm-hmm. and I was thinking about couch gags.
Yep.
You know, and how very rarely those are like a joke.
Yes.
You know, and I was thinking about I'm not stoned. But I was thinking about the difference between a gag and a joke. And is a gag a joke that isn't funny?
I don't...
Like, it's just kind of like a little something. Like, there's no joke here. It's like, oh, Homer fell down. Like, they all sat on the couch, and then Bart fell off the couch. And it's like, well, that's the couch gag.
Yeah.
You know, who's watching that and being like, oh. That guy broke a sore tailbone for that 10-year-old. Hope he doesn't have his V card. You know, like who is doing that?
They run up and the couch is tiny.
The couch runs away and they're like, oh, the couch, like that was different. You know, it was making me think. I mean, this is very adjacent to my like I don't get Looney Tunes jokes thing, but it was just thinking about it with this, because to unlock the hidden level and all of these things in McPixel, you have to do all the gags.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's a gag if I pick up the briefcase and lose the level. If that's what counts as a gag, like anything's a fucking gag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you know? Like gag is literally any output that you have decided for any input that I might be able to put in, you know. Yeah. And it becomes kind of like literally a pixel hunt. Yeah. I don't like the conversation of, let's see here, like what is and what is not a joke. Just anything that gets to like a taxonomy like that tends not to, I just kind of don't go in for it. I think that a gag oftentimes, like, it's almost like a stunt. Like a stunt is not like a, you know, a stunt is not a scene, or a stunt is not, you know, like a sequence, but a stunt is a component of a scene. I think a gag can be a component of of a joke, right?
Well, so often they're like standalone.
Yeah.
Like when I say not a joke, what I really mean is not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has the I think the word literally means
mm-hmm.
that it's funny, but they tend to be non-funny jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not, I'm not trying to gerrymander it out of definition of being a joke. I just mean that like it's just it's not funny.
Yeah,
you know, there's no joke there. Like mm-hmm. there's no goof. There's mm-hmm. no humor.
Yeah,
where's the humor in picking up a briefcase and blowing up?
Right.
Where's the humor in Lisa Simpson, falling off of a chair?
I mean, what we're describing is just slapstick, and I would say the McPixel trades in slapstick quite a bit. The problem is,
yeah,
like, there's good slapstick, and then there's, you know, just kind of like, no, That dude fell down. Okay.
Slapstick is rough. Like, yeah, there is definitely good slapstick.
The pie in the face gag, for the pie in the face gag to work, the you know, the guy has to have dignity. You know, give Lord Autumn Bottom over there a pie job. You know, like,
yeah, give him a pim palm pie job. You know, I was just thinking about that with this. I was like, I'm not going to find all these gags.
Yeah,
you know, and a good example of find all the gags, right, is Stanley Principle, where like you're not finding all the gags, you're finding all the game of that. The whole point of that game is finding all the endings,
right,
which are legitimately jokes, and like there's logic, you're intuiting,
yeah, you're exploring, you know, a space, you're engaging with the mechanic, is giving you leeway to do a bunch of stuff, it's giving you a lot of feedback, actually.
Yes, tons of feedback. Like you can, it gives you negative space to imagine where the things would be.
Yes,
like it gives you. It's saying this is here, which implies that this other thing is over here. You know, and this is just the other thing too. Is that I just like played this at. It took me a little while to figure out how to make it non full screen.
Oh yeah,
and at full screen, it was like literally hard for me to read anything. Like just too big.
Yeah,
too big. Resolution was not good.
This is one of those rare iOS games for, you know, that released prior to 2015 that actually still works. So like this actually worked pretty okay on touch. However, when you're playing it on
I played it on Steam.
If you play it on Steam, does the cursor change when you mouse over something that is interactable?
Yes.
Okay. That is something that anything that is point and click kind of loses when it goes to a touch screen. So like on iOS, the experience kind of comes down to like, all right, I have no idea what's interactable here. Oftentimes the most obvious thing on the screen is not going to be the solution. So like, I need to look for like an irregularity in the snow on the ground to understand that that is the pile of snow that will let me make a snowball that I can throw on the stick of dynamite.
I might be actually wrong about it changing. I thought it changed, but I could be wrong about it. Yeah. But that is a frustrating touchscreen thing, but it kind of plays into the general trial and error. Something else, this is a bone I have to pick with this.
Okay.
Did you ever watch MacGyver?
Yeah, as a kid.
MacGyver.
My favorite episode was the one where he went back in time and like Merlin was impressed with his with his do-it-yourself science.
I like the League of Extraordinary like gentlemen one where he teams with Merlin.
That might actually have been a crossover with the television show Merlin.
I think they existed at different times. Okay. I think Merlin was later.
Okay.
But MacGyver doesn't like he does save the day. And you know, MacGyver, he stopped some things from exploding. But I feel like Matt Gruber and Mick Pixel both fundamentally misunderstand MacGyver, which is making gadgets.
Yep.
Like MacGyver invents things to accomplish his goals. He's playing Scribble Knots. And all these things are just like, what if there was a guy who stopped an explosion? And like, I stop explosions all the time.
Yeah.
Like every time I don't drive away from the... You know, the fuel pump with the thing still plugged in, or don't like throw a cigar in there or whatever. I'm stopping an explosion. Like, that's not that impressive.
Yeah.
You know, if I invented a machine to not throw a cigar into the fuel pump.
Yes.
Then.
You know. The world's most pointless machine. I invented a machine like, to stop, to not do an unnecessary thing.
Yeah. I'm entering into the world of triple negative science. Yeah.
There's a name for that. Like there's a Japanese word for useless device that is not like a Rube Goldberg kind of thing. Let me take a look at that because it's driving me crazy.
But yeah, like that. I MacGyver does other stuff, and that also stuff that would be very well, you know, well suited to a video game and specifically an adventure game.
Yeah, because like, you like
that's you, what you do in adventure. You mix games.
Stuff together. Yeah, and like you that's can you can make it a gag. Like you could do like a fun Sierra or Mac
or a joke
or a Mac. Yeah, like, or a joke. You know, like you know.
why limit yourself? Like
you are given a certain number of things. It's like the Ben Affleck movie Paycheck. You're given a certain number of things, and there are wrong combinations that can result in humorous kind of deals. Like, oh, you forgot to use duct tape when you were making the hang glider out of PVC pipe and garbage bags. Oops, here you go. You fell to the ground. Yeah. The word for that is chindogu, the art of unuseless inventions.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like, that's why I liked MacGyver. Though, like, it was appealing for the same reason like Survivor Man was appealing. It's like, all right, all the pieces are here. All we need to do is put them together in the right order. And like, it was fucking absurd a lot of the time when MacGyver did it, but it was still entertaining. It was like, you know, like what if James Bond had to be his own Q, you know?
It was the gimmick of the show.
Yeah.
It was like, the whole thing wasn't a show without it. Like, yeah, it was just and a guy. Everything that is knocked off of it is just like, you're just left with a guy.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't invent stuff. He throws snowballs. Like, he kicks cans. Like,
yeah, here.
What's going on?
Or they were in the Will Forte vehicle. Like, he comes up with overly elaborate plans to get rid of to stop the bomb. You know, and the joke is they only has a minute to do this, and everybody's like, why are you making this so complicated?
Yeah, at least that understands.
Yes,
MacGyver. Also, Patty and Selma really wanted to have sex with MacGyver, dude.
Which is,
do you remember that?
I do. Which is remember weird because
one of them is like
canonically gay.
Canonically
gay like way earlier than she came out. Based on dialogue that she gave, like that was like a read on Patty's character.
But MacGyver.
Yeah.
And then they stopped doing it. They stopped having them be horny for MacGyver. It was like an early season thing, and they got over it. Like, they went to a deprogrammer or something.
I mean, honestly, like, to put an end to that, you know, to put an end to that saga, they should have just had them meet MacGyver. They
and have sex with them.
give him the old double trouble.
Yeah. Throw a dog a bone. And I would have watched it. Shit.
Man, I wouldn't have fast forwarded too much.
No, I would have DVR'd stuff. That. Yeah. I would have DVR'd that.
Yeah.
I have a digression.
Okay.
That I have either for this episode or next episode. Do you have a preference?
Let's do it now. I have more things to say about next episode. Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little McPixeled out.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Derek, yesterday we have been planning to do this thing for a little while, and he's on vacation and I was like technically on vacation, even though I was working constantly.
Right.
And we watched the movie Junior, together, the 1994 film Junior,
the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, M-Preg classic,
M-Preg horror movie. Yes. Yep. have you seen Junior?
I have not seen Junior. I've seen Twins.
Dude. Okay. Junior is an entirely different level.
Okay.
And I think that you should watch it.
Okay.
I know that recommendations are poison.
No.
But if you could find a way, because I just screen shared it.
Okay.
Like, me and Derek have been watching stuff that way. If you can find a way to make it a social experience, I guarantee a good time.
Okay.
Because it's real weird. it is weirder than I remembered. And it's already a pretty weird premise, right?
Okay. You know? So I guess that would be my question. So you say it's weird. Obviously there's going to be a baseline level of weird because it's, you know, M-Preg.
It's an M-Preg. It's a mass market M-Preg.
Right. trying to launder that shit. Yeah.
It's an M-Preg you can bring home to mama.
But it's even so, the weirdness exceeds the premise. Even like, you walk into this thinking this is going to be weird, and then you walk out of it saying that was weird.
So here are some weird things about it.
Okay.
One, they're never quite clear on where the baby goes inside Arnold Schwarzenegger. They have like a cavity, and they give him an ultrasound at some point, but near the end where he has to deliver it, the baby, Arnold Schwarzenegger's intestines are wrapped around its neck.
What? So it's just like there in the interstitial,
like free floating.
I am nestled in the interstitial fascia. Just this.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Just about.
Yeah. Like, just a free floating. Just a wandering fetus.
Yep. And me and Derek are both watching this, and Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger are both acting like they didn't expect this. And Danny DeVito is a family doctor, like somebody who an obstetrician.
Okay.
Like a big wig obstetrician, like a famous obstetrician. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is a fertility scientist. Like, they are the people who should definitely know. And right. They're acting like a horrible thing happened to them.
Uh-huh.
When this baby is getting choked by an intestine, which would have some kind of effect on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, he would.
Who owns no umbilical cord?
Right. Well, that's the way that you would die if your like large intestine ruptures, then you're
from
done.
A baby's neck. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like you get a baby's neck done, on your intestine, done? You're done. Yeah. So that was amazing.
Okay.
To me. Also, I read. The original, because the reason I wanted to watch it was because I could not remember for the life of me where the baby came out.
That was my question. Where does the baby come out?
Well, I'll tell you. And I'm very puerile, so I was imagining it coming out of his penis and just leaving like a shredded,
useless,
you know, like,
yeah,
like the tar man from Return of the Living Dead.
Right, right. You know? Like it's like one of the ways you would cut a hot dog so a kid wouldn't choke on it.
To make like a octopus or something.
Yeah, octopus.
Yeah, hot dogtopus. And the reason I thought that, because I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Of course they're going to do a C-section. But I remembered from the trailer, Danny DeVito being like, push. I'm like, you don't push in a C-section.
No.
Even I know that.
I think it would be bad. It would be bad if you push in a C-section. There's a lot
seems
of...
like a really...
Yeah, a lot of very...
Horrible idea.
Yeah.
If you're having open surgery, don't push.
Yeah.
Pull, if anything. You know? So I remember him saying push. So I was like, how do they have that fucking baby? Like, does it come out of his butt? Does it come out? You know, where does the baby come out of?
I mean, you're also describing like anybody who saw this movie based on the trailer. Like, that was mm-hmm. why they went. Like, that is the universal.
Oh, it's, you know, it's a mystery.
It's the sack lunch thing. I want to know. Is it a big bag? Yeah. They shrink down?
Or they get shrunk down? Yeah. It's like the Clue movie. Like, they should have different endings where the baby came out of different holes. And depending on the theater you went to. But it's a C-section.
Okay.
You know, which you shouldn't push. But I read the original ending of it. They aborted it. And it didn't test well. Can you imagine? Because the movie is all about Danny DeVito saying this is just science and Arnold Schwarzenegger gaining a maternal instinct.
Okay.
Like, it's a very weirdly pro-life movie.
Uh-huh.
Where Danny DeVito is like, terminate your pregnancy. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is like, no, this is my baby. I want to bring it to term.
Okay.
And... they originally ended with an abortion, which would be the weirdest fucking thing that has ever happened
on
screen.
Did they explain why it was an abortion? Like, this will kill you. You should probably, like, you know, this is an abomination. Well, like,
I mean, they are definitely making an abomination during it.
Right.
But, like, the ending of it was reshot to make it this. But there's tons of stuff on the way up to the ending where they start hinting about health problems.
Okay.
That it's going to have for Arnold Schwarzenegger. So that's probably why they would have terminated it.
Yes.
You know, terminated it.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Baby. Hasta la vista, offspring. But that's probably... but yeah, I read that as a trivia thing, and I lost my fucking mind. I died and went to hell. Yeah. Like, I was just like, that's incredible.
You were sent, as the Twitter kids say.
Yes, it sent me really hard. And the whole thing is just really special and weird. Like, lots of real weird lines. Like, Danny DeVito, like, when he first, you know, he's checking in on a pregnant Arnold Schwarzenegger who moves into his house.
Okay.
He's like, how are they hanging, big guy? And I'm like, that's real weird, you know, just like the baby's not inside his nuts. Like, And there's a part where he goes up to him on, like, everyone is constantly lifting up Arnold Schwarzenegger's blanket or shirt to expose his belly, but it just looks like they're just going to rip it off of him while he's in bed. And nobody asks him first or anything.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very strange.
Huh.
And it ends with Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to convince Danny DeVito to get pregnant. Because everyone's talking to him. He's there with three pregnant, himself and then two ladies who have been pregnant or are currently pregnant.
Okay.
And they're all trying to convince Danny DeVito how awesome it is.
Oh, it's a magical experience. It's a bond like you've never felt.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it's just very weird. Like, they're just going to do this dark science. Like, it starts off, they're making the drug to prevent miscarriages.
Okay.
You know,
okay. That was my question. Yeah. So like, was this an accident or was, you know, was this like a Frankenstein kind of thing or Dr. Jekyll kind of thing where like he said, yes, I'm going to see that this can happen because you know what we need is more people.
Well, 94.
Yeah.
It's basically Reanimator. Like there's a Frank Langella plays a stuffed shirted dean who for some reason is constantly involved in their business. Like he fires them because the FDA won't approve their like, you know, their pregnancy drug.
Uh-huh.
So then they decide to do the experiment on Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know why they didn't like find a lady. There's really not a, you know, but, he just kind of hangs out and stalks around them as an evil dean.
Okay.
Kind of like the dean in Reanimator is what it reminded me of.
Okay.
And there's a part where the police come to arrest Arnold Schwarzenegger because Frank Langella is like, you and your baby belong to the university. Arnold Schwarzenegger like knocks him out and runs and gets into a car. And then Danny DeVito hides him at like a pregnancy camp where Anna Gunn works.
What?
So it's like one of her first roles.
A young pre Blood Omen Anna Gunn?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So yeah, and at first I was like, oh, you know, because the politics of the movie are very hard to understand. It's 1994.
I mean, also they changed it midway.
So. Yes. Yeah. It's well, even the politics as far as that, because I was trying to think of like, is there a transphobic read of this? Because it's, you know, weirdly sensitive. Like when he, you know, presents as a lady and he's pregnant, mm-hmm. it's like everyone's really supportive and he feels, you know, really good.
Yeah.
Like he never like actually identifies as a lady, but I was like, maybe mm-hmm. this is like not, you know, explicitly like transphobic. Like maybe this is actually okay because of the cadence of this and how gentle it is.
Yeah.
Like it's like really weirdly like a sweet pro-life movie. really kind of surprised about
and that's,
how it turned
I mean,
out.
That's also a thing that happens because that's just kind of the default culture, you know, like knocked up as a sweet pro-life movie.
Child. Yeah. And I'm going to send you via text.
Okay.
Because I have it on my phone.
Okay.
A picture. So the set designer in this movie did a lot of real weird shit. Just kind of pretty surprising stuff in the background. I want to point out this. This is next to his bed when he's in the pregnancy camp.
Okay. I'm standing by.
Okay. This is delivered. That little guy.
What?
Like, okay. And Derek were like, hold up,
wait a minute.
At some point,
so we need to describe this because not everybody can see what we're seeing.
Few people can see it.
I mean, maybe Dottie. No, okay, she's not on her cat tree. No, it's a there's a second one. Okay.
Yeah, he puts a wig on it.
Gotcha. So this is like it's an object. It's like a ceramic baby on a nightstand. What appears to be a nightstand. Yeah. I see a lamp and a phone.
That's big.
Yes, it's quite.
It's like
big.
The size of a like a commanding loaf of challah bread.
And it's kind of like it, on all fours. Like it's on its elbows and knees, smiling. Mm-hmm. And it looks like either there are like stick figures drawn on its back, or it is kind of like one of those diagrams of the cuts of meat on a cow.
Yes, and it's very pantsless.
Yes, yeah.
And its butt is very in the air, and it's got a real like. Teehee.
Yeah. Oh god, the picture of the thing in the wig is pretty rough. It's, Gary, actually.
Yeah, it's really scary. It was because it was all blurry. It just went across it really quick. So it's like I had to try to catch it. But like there's a bunch of stuff like that in this movie, like just the weirdest things. Like the prop master just
he found cool objects like at secondhand stores. Which seems like the coolest thing about being a prop master, actually.
Yeah, it's probably a very fun part of being a prop master. Yeah. That and getting to hang out with Arnold Schwarzenegger and his beautiful baby, Junior.
Yup.
So.
Yeah. Huh.
It's a lot. the movie. It's also, it was a quarter century ago, and Danny DeVito looks smoother but not younger. Really weird.
That's a thing about Danny DeVito. He's a little bit like Steve Martin in that he's always looked like that. And you can tell like from decade to decade, like, yeah, he's younger or older here, but like the gestalt that is Danny DeVito, like, has not changed since Taxi.
No.
Has not changed since Renaissance Man.
It's very bizarre. I recommend anybody watch that movie, though.
Yeah.
It is way weirder than you remember it. I promise, if you've seen it. And it's a very strange movie.
Wow. Ivan Reitman, he directed the whole trilogy of Arnold mm-hmm. Schwarzenegger comedies, Twins, Kindergarten Cop, and Junior. And then he bounced out for Jingle All the Way. That had to come later. Yeah. Because Reitman would not work with Sinbad.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and also, he did not want to do this movie. It was originally going to be a different director, but Arnold Schwarzenegger insisted on Reitman coming in. And the writer was not Reitman. It's the guy who did Meet Joe Black and Made in Manhattan.
Oh, Joe Black with the infamous death scene.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Huh. The movie where you get to meet Joe Black.
Yeah. Or Joe Black introducing Joe Black in Meet Joe Black. Black.
There's Joe Black.
And I didn't know that Ivan Reitman directed Dave. Dave is a good ass movie.
Yeah, Dave's fun. Yeah. Dave's nice and good. Yeah. Emma Thompson is in this, and she plays a clumsy scientist, and the entire time it looks like she thought she was going to be Laura Dern in Jurassic Park. Like, she dresses up in high pants, like, and everything, and her whole idea is she's clumsy, but she falls in love with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the reason why is because Danny DeVito stole one of her eggs to put inside Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
So it's both of their it's both of their babies.
Does she know this, or is it like something that she discovers? She's like, I've got no idea why I'm so attracted to him and why I feel so attached to this baby. And like, I took one of your eggs.
it's Arnold Schwarzenegger going, he was supposed to find the random donor, but he couldn't. Like, and
I'll be normal.
she doesn't know about it for a long time, and then she finds out, like, everyone finds out that Arnold Schwarzenegger is pregnant in the same like 5 minute span, and several of them come to
showing?
It independently. Yeah. No, he's been showing for a very long time. He lies and says he has an Austrian disease. But
okay, that's very good.
He also, at one point, he talks about how horny being pregnant is making him. And he tells like Danny DeVito, he's like a Steifen. He like uses an Austrian word for stiffy.
Steifen.
It's very funny. But like everybody like figures out kind of independently, like the stuff shirted Dean like puts two and two together because one of his interns told him about all the estrogen that was in the sample.
Okay.
Of the chemical they found.
Uh-huh.
Of the expectane. The fertility drug.
Expectane.
What to expect when you're expectane. So he like just looks out the window and sees Arnold Schwarzenegger and he just figures it out. He's like, of course. It's exactly what it looks like. It's really good. It's a very funny movie.
Oh geez, does he get morning sickness?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like that's like I thought the whole movie was gonna basically be that, but it there are tons of time jumps. Like it starts off with him having the morning sickness and just doing the like, what if a guy was pregnant? Men can't deal with this jokes. But then it jumps ahead like when he's like very pregnant and he's like glowing and everyone thinks he's like radiant and he's eating like random food and he's just like in love with life and believes in fate and crying all the time. He's lonely. Like there's this really big thread about him like it really seemed like you can see where the movie gets edited to where they're going to deliver the baby because he's in the pregnancy estate and he's very lonely. Like he's having a hard time making friends and him and Danny DeVito aren't buddies. They hate each other, but they're also like business partners and kind of spouses. And Danny DeVito is selling the drug.
De facto, not de jure spouses.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, common law, uncommon law, spouses, extremely rare law. But he's Danny DeVito is getting money, like he's gonna sell the drug, and it keeps cutting back and forth between them, like he's gonna choose, he has to choose, like Cats in the Cradle style, like is he going to try to get the money or is he gonna be with his man? Okay. You know, is he going to be with Arnold? Huh. But then he immediately comes running. And I was like, oh, that's because they decided to deliver the baby late in the movie.
Yes.
Like maybe Danny DeVito never showed up because he was selling the drug and Arnold Schwarzenegger had to get an abortion on his own.
Oh,
you know, and that would have been like, I got to find the original script to this. Like somewhere to see what that would be like, because
I mean if they shot it, so like maybe it's on the DVD as an alternate ending.
Gotta find it. Gotta find it. Like it's a, because I mean we talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger a lot.
He's a fixture. Yeah,
he's funny because he never learned to act. Mm-hmm. Like he's in this movie, he's just like staring at the camera, just saying lines, and it's not a performance or anything.
Yeah, you know? Like the extent of his getting into character is putting on glasses. I'm a scientist. Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's exactly Rainier Wolfcastle. So, and he's like, I am a mom. Like it stretches it much further.
I mean,
it's very funny.
That's pretty common. I feel like. So like, oh, just, it's like, yeah, like you're gonna come Mr. across. Nanny. Yeah, you're going to come across with your, most of your appeal is just your natural charisma and the way that you speak and the way that you look on camera.
Just how tall he is, I feel like.
Also, yes.
Like, it's just that he's big. And then they paired him with Danny DeVito because Danny DeVito is small. Like, they didn't have chemistry or anything. Someone just went,
Contrast.
Big and little.
It's like all those great movies with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Like, yeah, someone was just like, hey, Ebony and Ivory, let's go.
You know? Like, okay, like, get this. What if there were two funny people? One was white and the other was black.
Done. What if we made the Penn and Teller of comedy? Yeah. So it made me want to watch more things from the mid-90s like that.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just absolutely buck wild. if you have any kind of modern lens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just accepted it. We were just like, yeah, I wanted to see that movie as a kid. That came out when I was 14. I was like, yeah, that looks awesome. fucking 14. That looks cool as hell. I want to hear about
fucking hot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Danny DeVito put a baby in her? Is he going to say sperm milkshake again like he did in Twins? You know? Like, this I got to see. You know?
Oh, gosh. The original song from Junior.
Yeah,
Look What Love Has Done by Patti Smyth.
they play the entire thing. That's when he's in the pregnancy camp, and it's cutting between him calling Danny DeVito and calling Emma Thompson.
Okay.
And Emma Thompson is mad at him because Danny DeVito stole one of her eggs and put it inside him. So she doesn't want to return his calls. And it's him like going through Lamaze class and stuff. And Danny DeVito doing the business deal and her looking at her answering machine, and they play the entire song. I love Look What Love Has Done. Not this.
No.
I didn't expect love to do this.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. There's also the scene where Danny DeVito steals the egg from absent-minded Emma Thompson, goes on for what feels like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Of him doing like shtick of trying to hide this like Jurassic Park frozen embryo container thing. Like, around her.
Is she like guarding it? Is she guarding it like a Metal Gear Solid guard?
No, dude, she's a klutz. Like, her whole thing is that she's like a sleepy klutz. At one point, they're
like
eating.
Like a Metal Gear Solid guard.
Yeah. Well, then the diarrhea supply is ridiculous. Well, yeah. But at one point, like, they're eating.
Diarrhea supply?
No, I was just kidding because of Metal Gear Solid.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's the shorthand for Metal Gear. If we have a character in Metal Gear Solid, you're supposed to laugh.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
There's a part where she's like eating lobster at a restaurant and she throws her lobster claws at other tables because she's that much of a klutz.
Throws them? That is a distinctly purposeful act.
You'd think so. You know, but she's just an absent-minded scientist paleontologist.
Yeah.
Mother, father. scientist. Like,
there was
just all of the above.
There was a 1978 film called Rabbit Test with basically the same premise, starring Billy Crystal, co-written by Billy Crystal and Joan Rivers. It was Billy Crystal's film debut. Whoa. Yep.
Was getting pregnant by Joan Rivers. Roger Ebert gave it 1 star out of 4. It's not a funny movie. It really isn't. Yeah, I was talking to Derek, and he said we should make this an every Wednesday thing. We just watch a movie about a man getting pregnant. No, just and then we watch 1973's A Slightly Pregnant Man by Jacques Demy.
Thank you for sharing. I would have just continued getting twins and Junior mixed up.
You know, it's an easy mistake to make. And, you know, this, I think that sometimes following a curiosity, you know, like I was just kind of like, what hole does it come out? And that's puerile, but it led to a lot of more sophisticated delights.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's just like, it's not so much, okay, yes, it is a little puerile, but also like, what did the filmmakers think they could get away with in 1994?
Derek kept saying that they should have just made it magic. Like that the movie should have made Danny DeVito a wizard.
Okay.
And then it would have just made a lot more sense, because as it is, there are just too many questions about where the baby is and like where the baby's getting food from. You know, like where's milk going to come out of? Like all these.
Where's milk going to come out of?
There's just too many logistical questions.
Did they address that?
Now, when he, cause he gets together with Emma Thompson, they fall in love because of their biological pro-life bond.
Okay.
The bond that only a woman can only feel for a man who has one of her eggs stuck inside him for a baby that was carried to term.
The purest kind of love, yes.
Yeah. So I think that she's the one who, they never show the baby like breastfeeding, but they immediately get together.
Gotcha.
So I don't think she breastfeeds the baby. Hmm. I think nobody breastfeeds the baby.
So it is still a heterosexual two-parent household. So we don't have to start writing letters. Good.
Yes. Danny DeVito's ex-wife is also pregnant in it, and she has a baby at the same time at the end. And it's a subplot.
It's like Father of the Bride Part 2.
And her thing is that Danny DeVito's character arc is that he was never able to get her pregnant despite being an obstetrician.
Oh yeah,
Cobbler's
Children has no shoes. That?
She went and got pregnant from somebody from Aerosmith.
What?
And he spends the whole movie thinking that it's one of the band members, and then he finds out it's one of the personal trainers, and then just decides to raise the baby as his own. And there's really not very much attention paid to it. He's like, did you call him? And she's like, yes, I called him. He doesn't want anything to do with the baby. And he's like, can we try again? I'll be this baby's father. And then like, and so it's, you know, it's really about the stretchy definition of family.
Yeah. Yeah. They literally say that, okay, the band Aerosmith exists in the fiction of this movie, and one of them, one of their personal trainers slept with this guy, and his wife just like kept it a mystery. Like
she's an ex-wife.
It's an advent calendar of clues.
She's his ex-wife, and she comes in and says like, hey, I'm pregnant.
She wasn't stepping on him. Okay. Yeah.
Well, no, they had divorced.
Yeah.
And he thought, you know, she was pregnant, and he thought it was this time that like they're recently divorced. Uh-huh. Divorced. And he's like, oh, that's mine, you know. And she's like, no, it's not. I was on a tour with Aerosmith. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Aerosmith? And then they spend a lot of time like
1994 thing.
It's like Wayne's World 2. They spent a lot of time talking about like which Aerosmith impregnated her.
Okay.
And like Arnold Schwarzenegger is like, what's the matter? Do you not like their music? And he goes, no, one of them knocked up my wife. The lines in this movie are fucking incredible. Like, if you want to see a pregnant Arnold Schwarzenegger accused Danny DeVito of getting cooked by Aerosmith, like, there is one movie for you.
Yeah, I mean, you just basically described the premise of this show.
It is 1994's Junior, my friend. Yep. Like, what a miracle it is.
Oh, geez. Now Expectane I can get into.
Wouldn't mind taking an Expectane or two. This is one of those things where this was not good, and it wasn't like so bad it's good, but I cannot deny that I had like an absolute blast for the entire runtime of it.
Yeah.
And legitimately, like, if you have someone to watch Junior with, please watch Junior. It's really buck wild.
And I assume that's not just for me, that's for everybody.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely for you, but also for just the public at large.
In general, I think it's time that we rehabilitate Junior.
I'm on the front lines of rehabilitating Junior.
I will write that Medium article.
Yep. It is incredible.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. That's probably about it.
I think so.
Yeah. For McPixel.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Appreciate you. If you would like to hear more episodes of the show, or if you would like to also suggest games, mm-hmm. go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yep. The line is short. It is currently, as of the time of recording, the line is short. That is at the $25 tier. Go ahead and throw in.
Yeah, we would appreciate it.
Or if you don't have $25, we understand that. At $5, you get extra episodes of the show, two of them per month, and it's a good time.
Absolutely. And and rating your reviews on Apple Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Such.
Yeah. Cool.
How should we end?
We should end by saying until next time, like Ultimate Cool Guy always says, until next time, you gotta love it and you gotta know about it.
Umbasa.